exciting.
Well, no fooling. It's April 2022, and it's another episode of PDGA Radio. Grant Zellner and Jennifer Allen, thanks for joining us this week. First things first, we've got some congratulations in order. Several big tournaments over this past weekend, starting with the Music City Open.
Yeah, there were some tight battles this week down there in Nashville. Chris Dickerson ended up pulling off the win over three strokes over Adam Hammes in MPO. And then our FPO, I don't know about you, but I was watching all weekend.
It was
such a tight race, and it was back and forth. Looking at the scores as they ended up, Missy Gannon took a 4-stroke lead over Kat Murch. But I'm telling you, that was just right at the end. There were so many that were contending for the win. Macy was, Deanne Carey, Holly Finley was in the lead for a while. Hinna was battling them. And so there was a lot of back and forth, and Missy ended up pulling off the win in FPO.
Yeah, lots of drama in Nashville. Down in Florida, the Throw Down the Mountain tournament. Paul McBeth wins in the open division by just a single stroke over Calvin Heimberg. In FPO, Ellen Widboom takes the victory. Lisa Fakus with a great showing there in second. So we had some serious disc golf going on in multiple locations over the weekend. This week, though, a lot of attention going somewhere you might not expect. We're going to be looking into the state of North Carolina. Why? Because the college national championships are going to be going on this weekend. You might be thinking, really? College disc golf? I had no idea. Well, yeah, a lot of people really had no idea. So Jen and I went and found one of the best guests we could think of to join us to talk about the fact that college disc golf is a thing and is a growing thing. His name is Tim Barr. He is one of the first head disc golf coaches at the collegiate level. And he's going to talk to us about all things college disc golf here on PDGA Radio. Special guest in the PDGA virtual studio today, a person who has been deeply involved in the game of disc golf for quite a long time. We're talking about a multi-time major event tournament director, somebody who has been suggested to Jennifer and I as a guest for actually several weeks in a row, but the stars aligned this week because of some pretty cool happenings going on in the world of disc golf. I'm talking about Tim Barr, who is not only the things I just now mentioned, but also the, let me see if I say this right. Are you the director of disc golf? Are you the head disc golf coach? Maybe you're sort of all of the above at Milligan University. That's accurate, correct?
Yeah, my official title is director of disc golf for Milligan University, but I'm also the coach and mentor and all the other things that go along with it.
So clearly not the only thing you do. Jennifer, as we were talking about before we went on the air today, you were the tournament director for Masters Worlds less than a year ago.
Yeah, last August.
And have been all over that part of the country, that Tennessee, sort of Eastern Tennessee area of the country, doing things for some time. But now the world of college disc golf, like all of the other areas of disc golf, absolutely exploding. We've got something of a celebration here on the very near horizon with the National Collegiate Disc Golf Championships coming up this very weekend. Obviously, you're busy. You're already on site.
Yeah.
All I can think to do is to start at the very beginning, and we'll sort of get around to the upcoming championships. The very beginning, of course, being college disc golf is a thing.
Yeah, it's getting huge.
Let's start at the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of college disc golf and how it went from just college age people playing to something more organized now to the point of teams and coaches like yourself and all of that? Let's just try to start at square one if we can.
The best I can do is give you my experience since joining college disc golf, which was in 2019. I knew about college disc golf, and I knew that there were a lot of schools that had, you know, student-driven clubs that were organized by the students and that they would get together and have the championship. I think it was over at Winthrop for quite a few years and the Rock Hill area at different courses. And so when I was approached by Milligan back in 2019 by the outgoing athletic director, he had basically paid out of his own pocket to install a nine-hole course on the school's campus. And he had been toying with the idea of maybe getting a program going. Just as another way to enhance the student life, you know, another activity for students to do. And so he, there was a lady that worked there that's a friend of mine's wife. And so they connected and he asked if he knew anybody that was into disc golf locally. And my name got mentioned. So got together with him, had a meeting, and he said, "Do you want to, you know, come here and work?" And I was like, "Absolutely." So he hired me on part-time, 3 days a week. And only recently, within the last 2 weeks, have I been hired on full-time. Because we've got a new athletic director. He's really forward thinking. He has moved disc golf at Milligan from an activity into the athletics department. So now, he treats me like he does the basketball coach and the baseball coach and the ladies golf. I mean, it's really, Milligan has taken a great leap forward, and I think it's going to progress throughout college disc golf, you know, in the short term, because we're getting so many players playing now. When you look at college disc golf's website at the top, all those logos, those are all teams that are coming. I think right now we've got over 500 players registered and over 800 members of college disc golf. So just like the, you know, the trend we're seeing in disc golf, it's just exploding. And this place, I'm here at North Cove, and it's our, I mean, we're 2 days before the event. There's people everywhere.
That's so exciting to hear.
It is.
I mean, like, it just, I wish it would have been that way, you know, when I started, because it was, I was literally choosing, do I want a scholarship to Purdue? Do I want to, you know, go just start my medical career, blah, blah, blah. But to think that there is a possibility that my son could get a college scholarship to go play disc golf. I mean, it's just, it's so exciting.
It is.
Every day it just continues to excite me.
I know. Everything about this sport is just, someone mentioned the other day, but it was John Bisco from Virginia in the PDJ magazine about living in a golden age of disc golf. And I think that's where we're at. I think he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Looking at the website, which is collegediscgolf.com, I see a number of, my goodness, way more logos than I expected to see before I pulled it up. And I see a number of smaller, I use the term lovingly because I know sometimes a school is perceived as smaller when in truth it has a very large enrollment. But I see a number of, let's just say, less well-known schools, perhaps like Milligan. I see Oklahoma Christian, which is a small private university not far from where I live. I see a number of other smaller universities noted here, Wichita State University. My goodness, James Madison University. I could go on, but I also see a lot of more well-known universities, major conference universities. I see Arizona State there. I see both Kansas and Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Purdue. I see Illinois. I see Arizona, Virginia Tech. I mean, the list goes on. Odds are pretty good that either, as you sit there listening right now, your alma mater or maybe your alma mater's greatest rival, one of the two, is probably represented. I know that because I see my alma mater's two greatest rivals, but not my school. So I'm going to have to try to do something about that. It really is becoming a thing. So I guess my next question to you, Tim, is, so we're not talking about Division I sports from the standpoint of like the way you think of, say, college football. Are we, or are we talking about, obviously it's something more than intramurals. What kind of organization do we have going on right now in college disc golf?
I think it's still considered grassroots. Most of the colleges and universities, I think, would consider it an activity or a club sport as opposed to an actual athletic program. But I think, you know, the fact that our AD has moved us into the athletics department, that trend is going to continue. And, you know, the fact that we're giving out scholarships, you know, for disc golf, I think that's another trend that's going to continue. I mean, I don't know that we're the very first college to do it. I think we are, but there are so many colleges and universities out there that I'm not in connection with. I don't know for sure. I have to preface my comments by saying I really don't know, but to the best of my knowledge, we're the first school to give scholarships. And to the best of my knowledge, I think I'm the first fully salaried, full-time disc golf specific coach with a department budget, but I could be wrong. I mean, and I fully think that it's going to continue. I think what Milligan's done to kind of take that step, even though we're such a small school, we've only got like 1,300 students. It's a small, you know, private university. But this athletic director, he's really making some moves that are really impressing me and exciting me too. I mean, you know, to be a full disc golf coach, well, I don't have to teach any other classes or anything like that. I am just disc golf. That's it. So I'm up here at North Coast today working, just scouting the courses for my players.
You don't have to teach like, you know, a pre-algebra course or something like that.
They
like,
wouldn't want that anyway.
Maybe I found my new retirement job. I'll just be a college coach. That sounds amazing.
My plan is
no kidding
on this until I'm physically unable.
I think starting the programs in a smaller college is probably the easiest and smartest thing to do. Because, I mean, if we would say, you know, Oklahoma is going to go out there and start a disc golf scholarship and a program and they're in the athletic department. OU football is so huge, you know, that's going to be really hard to compete with. But some of these smaller universities where you're saying, you know, very small campus, football, baseball, all these other sports maybe are not like a huge top priority and the reason people come to this campus. So that's a great place to start a new program that's almost the same level as maybe some of the other sports there.
Yeah, at Milligan, we're NAIA, so we're not even NCAA. So, you know, we're obviously a small school to begin with. But, you know, and we don't have a football program. You know, that's one of the few universities that probably doesn't have a – there's a lot of football programs out there, obviously. But, you know, our other programs are well-established. And I don't look for disc golf to immediately leap to the top, you know, of the Milligan hierarchy. But the fact that they're giving us what they are is it's a huge step forward.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So what does life look like if you are, say, an aspiring disc golfer, you're a high school aged individual, and all of a sudden this whole possibility of getting to go to college on a disc golf scholarship, maybe you're hearing about it right now for the very, very first time. I'm trying to put myself in those shoes and think, what would I want to know? Maybe from the standpoint of how you get noticed, maybe from the standpoint of what life looks like once you're on campus. What does that look like being a dedicated, quote unquote, college athlete? You know, how can you pull the curtain back on that a little bit, Tim?
Well, the first thing I would say is that if, you know, if a young man or a young lady is thinking about going to college, but their game is so good that they actually have aspirations of going on tour, this is kind of that middle ground that makes mom and dad happy. You know, you can still go to college and play disc golf. And, you know, as we keep progressing, you know, the Collegiate Nationals is going to get a lot of coverage this week. And, you know, sponsors are going to see these players and they're going to start reaching out and making connections. And to be a full-time disc golf player at a university would be, in my opinion, just like being a football player or basketball player. You know, we have our practice sessions. I focus on my kids' academics. I don't want them slipping, you know, academically. If they can't make a practice, I'm completely understanding, and I'm not going to kick them off the team just because, you know, they've got a class that goes long or they can't come to a practice session. So for me, academics is more important than disc golf, and it's only because there's a lot of money involved in going to college. You know, you can't afford to just waste your money laying out of class, you know, and playing disc golf. But you can play disc golf in the evenings and in the mornings. And, you know, it's a great mix of all of that, you know, living on campus. I didn't live on campus. I went to college when I was 43. I went to night school and got my degree. So I didn't get that on-campus experience that I'm getting now, you know, spending more time on campus, you know, wandering around, you know, seeing how things are going. And so I can only imagine how a student, how excited they would be to get a scholarship to play disc golf, you know, at a college or university. And to me, that just enhances it even better because, you know, everybody that plays disc golf has been hooked since the first time they made a 30-foot putt. So to be able to go to college and enjoy that as well as play disc golf for school, I think is just an amazing opportunity.
I think one thing that we'll see a problem with is that the kids, you know, they get good so quickly that they'll be pushed to play those pro divisions. And as far as I know, you cannot be playing on these college teams and play or accept cash in a professional division. So I think that right there is kind of some of the problem that maybe we'll see. I know Anthony Barella is one of those. He, you know, clearly went pro before he went to college. He goes to ASU, but he is not allowed to be on the team because he is a professional athlete. So
right. And those decisions have to be made, you know, before you decide to go to a college. But, you know, college is only 4 years, six, if you get a master's degree. So, you know, it's not like you're going to lose your talent over those years if you continue to play. And some people, college is what they need. Some people, it's not. I mean, you know, it wasn't for me. I started out trying, but, you know, I was one of those guys that laid out of class and played basketball all day and didn't go, you know, and, you know, 30 years later, I decided to go back or whatever.
So. Now, there's too many details to go into it, but based on a little bit of research I did before this conversation, there actually is something of a gray area where just because you have played in pro divisions and perhaps even just because you've accepted some winnings as, say, a junior aged pro, that doesn't necessarily preclude you from being involved in college disc golf, organized college disc golf. Now, you might not be able to continue to accept cash, or you might not be able to do things beyond a certain level. But as long as your rating falls within the correct parameters and all of that, you can be eligible, even if you have been playing in pro divisions as, say, a high school age teenager, for example. So there, I don't want to get into the details because there are so many and everybody's situation is going to be so unique. We would just be wasting our time. But the fact of the matter is, if you explore both the college disc golf's official resources as well as the PDGA's official resources, you may find exactly where those lines are and how you can tread right down the middle of that road and get a little bit of both worlds. So yeah, something to keep in mind. Now, one thing I wanted to ask though, since we're kind of talking a little bit about money, as best you can, Tim, what kind of scholarship are we talking about? What is possible?
They have authorized me to offer incoming freshmen or transfer students minimum $8,000 a year, which is a pretty good scholarship for disc golf. Million's a little pricey. Our tuition is right around $40,000 a year if you stay on campus. But if you've got a good GPA, so your GPA is over 3.5, then they offer really hefty academic scholarships as well in the $10,000 to $12,000 range. So if you combine a good GPA plus playing for disc golf, $8,000 a year, I can knock $20,000 off the top. You know, that's a pretty good discount to come to a private university, around 1,300 students. So the student to teacher ratio is really good. You know, you feel like you're actually in a class where there's maybe 15 or 20 people as opposed to 100. And if you raise your hand to ask a question, it's maybe not quite so, might not be so timid, you know, so to speak. Or, you know, sure. It's hard to raise your hand and ask a question when you're in college, especially if you've not been that kind of person going into it. But you know, if you're going to do any good in college, you've got to be paying attention and you've got to ask questions. So yeah, $8,000 a year. And, that's pretty good. And, you know, we have a lot to offer here in Northeast Tennessee. We've got, you know, Harmon Hills is a really good course. Sugar Hollow, they were both used in Masters Worlds. Warriors Pass, one of the oldest courses in the country. I mean, it was one of the first three courses in Tennessee. We've got Chris Dickerson and Zach Melton that live local. So there's just a lot of good things that we have to offer, not to mention the scholarship and a beautiful part of the country that, you know, a lot of people maybe never been to before. So there's a lot of cool things that we do have to offer.
Sure. So that's just one example, getting an $8,000 chunk out of, say, a $40,000 tuition. Every, you know, your results may vary, as they say, depending on the school and what that school is able to offer in the form of not only disc golf scholarships, but maybe other scholarships that can sort of stack on top of a disc golf scholarship. But either way, the opportunity to be a college athlete playing, of all things, disc golf. It's just, I mean, I've heard of schools having bowling teams. I know some schools have rowing teams. Mm-hmm. Obviously, back east, those are much more official than they are in other parts of the country. Here in Oklahoma at OU, there's a club hockey team.
Yeah.
we're a southern state.
We have a bowling team. We have a fly fishing team. We have drumline. These are all programs that were started at the same time as disc golf. So
fly fishing, there you go. So. Yeah. The opportunities are beginning to become more and more organized, and disc golf seems to be primed to be maybe one of the leaders among that group of activities in sports, which is really, really fun. Jennifer, you were looking up something a minute ago that I thought the listeners would get a kick out of. You found what, the current rankings going into championship week?
Yeah,
I did. So the top 10 men's teams expected to do the best. I guess we'll start with number 10. We have Pitt State, Illinois State, North Carolina, Charlotte, Ferris State, Cincinnati, top five, Portland State, Clemson, Kennesaw State, Texas, and the number one pick men's overall team is Missouri for this week.
Mizzou, and, okay.
Yeah, and then our women's teams, starting at number 10, Tennessee Tech, Kennesaw State, Milligan,
woo,
Southern Arkansas, Clemson, top five, South Alabama, Missouri, North Carolina State, Virginia Tech, and then number one women's team to be picked is Ferris State. So definitely some big schools.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Is Ferris State defending champs?
I believe they are in the men's D1, yeah. I can't remember who won ladies last year. I wish I could, but I cannot remember.
But there are, if my rough estimate here is accurate, there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4... 5 rows down by about 20-ish across, there are at least 100 universities that will be represented in one division or another this coming weekend. So odds are you've got somebody to root for, even if it's just because they're wearing the right colored shirt.
Yeah.
Can you give us a bit of a preview of the event this weekend? Something about the course and about maybe the format, those kinds of things?
Yeah, North Cove is an old ball golf course. It's in the mountains of North Carolina. I guess you would say in the western end of North Carolina. Not very far from our campus. We're like an hour from here, so that's really a benefit to us, you know, if we want to come and practice. But the two gentlemen that bought it, Kyle Sims's name pops to mind. I cannot remember the other gentleman's name, but they purchased the property. This is actually a Lee Trevino-designed ball golf course. So I'm sure a lot of people know who Lee Trevino is. It's beautiful, beautiful. Sits in a valley, big mountains on both sides of the valley. The Catawba River runs through the middle of it. It splits off into a couple of different branches. There are a couple of ponds, and it's just a gorgeous piece of property. And the fact that we're able to play disc golf here is just amazing. It is, you know, what I call hybrid disc golf. It's disc golf on a ball golf course. So you have, you know, a lot of open shots, but they've done a really good job. The design team, I think led by Andrew Duvall from Innova, have really done a good job of bringing in the sides and, you know, making the terrain play to the best of their ability. The river and the creeks are just amazing. And so they've got three courses now. They just added a third course, which is called the Gorge. And it's pretty much top-level pro caliber. And the other two courses that they had last year were River Run and Boulders. They're both great courses. They started out with rubber mat tee pads, but they replaced them with some of the best turf I've played on yet. Really good turf tees, pro quality turf tees. You know, the disc catcher baskets. You're going to have to throw a lot. There's a lot of long shots at these courses, but there's also some really technical shots and some really difficult shots. So the new course just opened. I think today is the first official day that it's open. I walked it yesterday, and a lot of elevation changes. Hole 12 on the Gorge course is it's one of the coolest drives you're going to throw. It is off the top of a huge hill and down into a big golf fairway with bunkers that sit probably, I felt like I had to throw it over 350 to clear those bunkers, and even though it's downhill, so I don't know the exact distance. That's one of the things I'm going to do today is do some lasering to give my kids some better information about, you know, how far to throw to get past some of these bunkers and obstacles. But this place is awesome, and they've obviously put a lot of money into it. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are fully enveloped in disc golf here, and I mean, it's just an amazing venue. If you have a chance to come here this week and watch, you will not be disappointed. It's a gorgeous place. It really is.
Well, and PDGA will be putting out some footage as well. Definitely.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, are we all going to be able to watch this?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm extremely excited about it every year. I mean, this is my second year doing this here. So, you know, last year we came in, we were, you know, new kids on the block, and most of my kids had never played a tournament. I mean, I can honestly say that other than about two of my guys, or maybe three, That last year's Collegiate Nationals was the first tournament they ever played in. I cannot imagine my first tournament being a PDGA major.
No.
But yet, you know, one of our ladies, Jenny Simonson, you may have seen the video of her on hole one at River Run last year in the final round with cameras all around her. They were filming everybody. These guys were just hawking around all over in front of her filming while she threw, and she literally missed an ace by like 2 inches low. If it had been 2 inches higher, it would have been an ace. And she had never played in a tournament in her life. So, you know, and it's not that I'm such a great coach. I'm really good at bringing a new player in and showing them the easy parts of the sport and how to throw, how to keep it low, how to try to keep it flat, disc selection and stuff like that. And so, you know, over half a year of coaching, they were able to come in and they didn't act like they had any nerves. They were very comfortable. Jenny plays golf for us, so she's really good golfer. And so she knows the game already. She knows the strategies because we all know the parallels between disc golf and ball golf, and the strategies and terminologies are all roughly the same. It's just a different mechanism. So she stepped right in, and her and Amanda Kent played really well. And I'm hoping that they can improve on this year. I mean, we're extremely excited to be here.
So has she said what she likes better, ball golf or disc golf? Has she picked one yet?
You know, that's something that that's an interesting topic to bring up, because when I started the program at Milligan, I wasn't sure of how many kids I was going to have. So I asked the outgoing AD, his name is Mark Fox, if I could allow walk-ons. And he said, sure. And I was like, okay, what if they play another sport? Okay, that should be all right. So I've got a lot of soccer players. I've got a ladies golfer. I've got a men's golfer. I've got a men's volleyball. I've got a ladies tennis player. All kinds of dual sport athletes. And so Jenny recently graduated, but she's staying for her master's. And she decided to drop golf and focus on disc golf solely.
What?
Yeah. And so, yeah. And, you know, my soccer players, they, you know, they enjoy it so much. And we had a soccer game that got rescheduled, which kept two of my kids from being able to play this Saturday. So I ended up having to drop that team because it got to the point where I had no choice. I wanted them to play, but they weren't going to be able to come on Saturday. And then the third guy on their team was a golfer. He had a match last weekend. He had nationals this weekend, and then he had another match the following weekend, which would have kept him out of class for 7 straight days and off campus for like 11 days. So when I talked with the golf coach, we both decided that, you know, we just need to drop the third team and hope for next year. So there are things like that that do kind of, you know, get in the way. So moving forward, I'm probably going to have to limit my dual sport athletes just because of the conflicts, like the soccer game getting rescheduled. And all of a sudden, you know, that's their scholarship sport. So it doesn't make me look good, you know, as far as a soccer coach or another coach to say, hey, I need your player, when that's the, you know, they're getting scholarship for that sport. So moving forward, I think it's going to be strictly disc golf scholarship players. I'm grandfathered all the kids that are on the team now in. So, you know, they're on the team until they graduate and we'll work through it. But, you know, moving forward, it's going to be disc golf specific. If you come to Milligan to play disc golf, that's what you're going to do. I hate it because there are a lot of kids that love to play. And, you know, I've got close to 20 players on the team, you know, and only 2 of them right now are on scholarship. So I've got 3 fixing to sign, which will give me 5 moving into the fall. And, you know, moving forward now with the, you know, this interview is going to do a lot for us. People are going to find out about
it. Right.
You know, so hopefully I'll get calls from all over the place here in the next few months. You never know how many we're
happy to help.
I know Liberty has so many, they have to have tryouts because they can only handle so many players. So, you know, we aspire to get to that level.
What kind of format are we going to be seeing this weekend in terms of how they actually compete with one another?
The men will be playing 4-man teams, but they're going to be playing a little bit different type of format. So they'll split you up into doubles partners inside the team. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this. I've done my research, but I could easily misspeak. 2 players will tee off. And then the other 2 players will throw the next shot based on which one they want and back and forth like that. And then they'll also play singles. And then their scores will be compiled based on their single scores or double scores. You'll either be in one pool or another, I think, in D1. I think there's so many players that got 2 pools in D1. As far as D2 and D3, it's the same format for the men. And then the ladies do the same thing, but they're playing in 2-person teams. So they will be playing doubles and singles, and I'm pretty sure their doubles are best shot doubles. So it's a fun format. I really like the way they're doing it. Last year, they didn't do it that way because of COVID. They changed it up from 4-man teams to 2-man teams. So I had several 2-man teams last year. But this year they've gone back to their original format of four-man teams and the, I guess you would call it modified alternate shot, kind of. But in theory, it works really well because it gets all the players involved without having to play four-man best shot, which would take forever.
I was going to say, I've always wanted to go to a college university and just like introduce myself to the softball team and be like, okay, so who wants a new sport?
Yeah.
I mean,
no doubt.
Anyone who's athletic at all, I feel like can pick up this game and go to the next level so quickly.
Absolutely.
So it, kids are great. Like you said, you brought in kids who have never played before and this was their first tournament. And that doesn't really surprise me because of all the kids that I've taught. You know, it is incredible. Just a few, you know, little adjustments or telling them exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. And they can throw the disc great.
Yeah.
So that it's, I think I'm almost just as excited to see the sport grow at this level, getting scholarships and stuff like that, as I am at the professional level.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because this, I mean, college disc golf is going to reach players and athletes, like you're saying, that maybe didn't know about disc golf prior. Mm-hmm. And the more athletes, you know, that disc golf creates and they become a part of the sport, you're going to see, you know, people like Chris Dickerson and Calvin Heinberg and all these really good players. You know, it's just going to keep getting better. I mean, I always said this back in the day, if we could have gotten Michael Jordan playing disc golf, where would it have gone? You know, and I think eventually,
so true.
I think eventually there's going to be that level of athlete that's going mm-hmm. to pick up disc mm-hmm. golf and run with it, because look at the money that's being given out now. You know, it's not right. just that, you know, mm-hmm. that sport where, yeah, you might go out and make 50 or 100 bucks on a weekend. No, it's real. It's the real deal now. So you're going to see more athletic type people getting into it. Not that there's not now. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a fat old man,
right?
But I still play.
And I don't think that they would necessarily get into it for the money, but even like professional golfers or basketball players or stuff like that, getting into the sport as something that they don't have to really think about. It's a great pastime to get out and just hang out and relax with their friends, you know, clearing the mind mm-hmm. and doing something that is not their professional sport. So that's where I think we'll get in a lot of these professional athletes as just a good pastime.
Yeah.
And then they're going to pick it up so quickly
mm-hmm.
that, you know, maybe they will start to play some of the tournaments.
You never know. I mean, it takes just a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of coaching to go from a rank amateur who only knows how to throw whammos in the backyard or on the beach to throwing 200 foot with a golf disc. And that light bulb moment is what I love. When you know, you
Me
say, okay,
too.
Try this, you know, throw this disc and throw it just like this. And then it goes out there about 200 foot instead of hosering out at 80. And they're like, holy cow, you know, all of a sudden they're hooked, you know.
Yeah, that's the best. I had that little experience at Vista yesterday. There was a group of probably college age kids, and you could tell they had one disc. They had never been or tried to throw this frisbee before.
Uh-huh.
And the one girl was helping the other girl, and they were trying, but I try not to usually step into that situation, but they definitely needed just a little bit of advice. And so just with a few little things of, I usually tell people, reach back like you're going to hand it to your friend and then jerk it away.
Uh-huh.
And you get that activation of the muscles. And I told him that, and, you know, watch your footing, you know, where your feet are angled is going to direct your flight of the Frisbee, and those few little things. And I said, good luck, you guys have fun, and passed them on the other side of Vista. And they were having a blast. They were figured out how, you know, to make it fly. So sometimes just that little bit of knowledge.
Yeah.
But it's such a fun sport.
It
and
is.
Like you said, and I tell kids, you know, they've never seen anything fly further than a Frisbee. You know, so
right.
for someone to be able to throw something 200-300 feet is incredible to see.
And yeah.
it hooks you instantly.
It does. It does. And that experience that you just related, that's what I love about disc golf. There's not a lot of other sports out there. Maybe there are, but I can't speak in certain or in absolutes. But, you know, disc golf, people will come up and help, you know, because they want to further the sport, you know, and you never
right.
know. The little kid that you teach to play might end up being the next Paul Macbeth. I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, they're not afraid to teach somebody new how to play for fear that they might become better than me and beat me at a tournament. You know, that's just not the mentality of our sport. And I love that part of it.
Me too.
Well, as we begin to wrap things up here, Tim, what are your predictions for this weekend's championship? What teams do you think have a real shot? What teams maybe have some tradition on their side, or maybe even a specific golfer or two that is going to be someone to watch this weekend, and then we all can watch out for it on the PDGA coverage?
Well, I wish I could give you specifics, but I'm not very in tune with the names of the players. I will give you, Fair State, obviously. Liberty's always really tough. There are so many colleges now that I'm just not as familiar with them as I should be based on my position, but I'm just now getting into it full time. So it's going to be something that I'll be spending more time dealing with moving forward. But I would look for those two teams. They always come with strong teams. I think that our kids are going to have a ball. I think that if they play up to their potential in D2 and D3 and ladies, that they can, work their way into the top 10 or maybe even the top 5. Because we've got a lot of good players. They're just not experienced. And, we're playing yesterday and I was trying to show them, don't do that. Do this. Don't go for that putt layup. Play smart. Smart golf wins. Most people don't understand it. But unless you're playing at the highest level, smart golf is going to shave 5 or 6 strokes off the end of your score every round. And it's not because you're chickening out or anything like that, There's a difference between playing disc golf and playing golf. And golf right. is about position, and it's about playing smart, and it's about doing the right thing at the right time. And it's not about taking, really risky chances. And at this level, yeah, it's moving up there. These guys at the top, I was telling my kids, these guys that are going to be competing for the win here, they're just one step away from going pro. I mean, all of them are that good. I watched them play last year. I can see how far they can throw and how they're making their putts and stuff like that. So in order to compete, in D1 here, you've got to have a couple of players that are, solid tournament players that know what they're doing and know how to play.
Well, Tim, before we have any more technical difficulties with our technology, we're going to go ahead and let you go because you've, after all, got a busy week ahead of you and a lot to do. So thanks so much.
Thank you guys for having me. I've enjoyed talking about it. Anytime you want to talk college disc golf or any other aspect of disc golf, feel free to let me know.
Thank you. Good luck to your team this week.
See you, Tim.
Thank you so much.
Well, we want to thank Tim Barr for joining us. He's going to have a busy week out there on the golf course coaching a team. How cool is that?
That is Grant, way, way, way cool.
How are we going to be able to follow them?
A couple of ways to follow along with the College Disc Golf National Championships. First of all, each of the divisions for both teams and singles has its own events page at pdga.com, so you can follow along scoring through all of those different pages. We're talking about Division 1, Division 2, and Division 3, and then the same thing for singles. So it's a number of pages. You just need to find who it is you're looking for and then follow along that way. Also, there's collegediscgolf.com. Lots of information about the actual events and about the whole world of college disc golf. So plenty of things to get you all caught up here for you online.
Well, I know every week, Grant, we end up trying to come up with this idea that is going to make us $1 million.
Yeah.
But this episode just gave me my idea for a retirement job. I'm not going no Walmart greeter for me. I am going to hopefully have a college coaching position someday because, wow, like what a dream job. I mean, Tim is out there getting paid,
yeah.
Not volunteering. Of course, I volunteered teaching, for so many years, but to think that's a paid college job. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it might not be $1 million, but hey.
I don't care. I could say I'm a paid college coach. So any colleges out there that are recruiting coaches, just, drop me an email.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time. I didn't know you were going to go there with the Walmart greeter thing. And now all I see in my head is Jennifer Allen wearing one of those blue vests saying
sorry.
Hi to people.
It's a great retirement job, but I have a college coaching in my eyes now.
This conversation is very near going off the rails, so we're going to let you go. Lots to follow this weekend with the College Disc Golf Championship, and in less than 2 weeks, the Champions Cup, the inaugural major for the PDGA going on down in Georgia. Stay tuned to PDGA Radio next week for all things Champions Cup. Until then, see ya!